As Pastor Andy mentioned last week, we've wrapped up officially the Jeremiah sermon series that we've been doing. And going forward through June, we're planning to just have standalone separate sermons every single Sunday through June until we start a new sermon series later in July. And today, I'd love for us to consider a verse in Psalm 105. And normally we look at a bigger text than a passage. Today I kind of wanted us to think and consider just on verse 4. I was personally reading through the psalm and that verse struck me in a way where it gave me pause. And I had to really think through what verse 4 was saying in light of the whole chapter, and I'm hoping that we could meditate on that together. And so it'll just be one verse. We'll look at it phrase by phrase, but let me read that for us. And once again, as we hear God speak to us, let's all stand, and we'll hear God speak to us from Psalm 105. And I'll just read for us verse 4. This is God's word for us today. Seek the Lord and His strength. Seek His presence continually. Let me read that for us again. Seek the Lord and His strength. Seek His presence continually. Let me pray for us. Father, whether we're looking at a whole chapter or a single verse, Lord God, Your words are inspired. Lord, Your words give life. Lord, there are wondrous things to behold from Your word, and we cannot, Lord, behold these things apart from Your Spirit. So won't You open our eyes, our ears, our hearts to not only receive Your word, but to be transformed through it. And so, Father, we ask of these things according to Your steadfast love and Your faithfulness. And we pray all these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Please be seated. You know, if you read this whole psalm, it talks about just how great, it's almost similar to the psalm that we read to begin, the wondrous works of God, right? It talks about, man, look at God, how He kept His promises. He remembered His covenant through Abraham when he was sojourning and wandering. God kept His promises and was faithful even through Joseph when he was a slave, when he was wrongfully imprisoned, even when he became a ruler in Egypt. And the psalm goes on to say, man, God is so wonderful. His wondrous works are amazing. It talks about Moses, how God led the people from slavery in Egypt through the different plagues. How amazing the wondrous works of God. And as I was meditating on the whole psalm, I thought to myself, man, here in verse 4 it says, in light of how wonderful that is, seek the Lord and His strength. Seek His presence continually. And the reason that it struck me is I thought to myself, you know what? I don't. That even in light of these truths about how God remembers His covenant, He never breaks a promise, look at all these mighty deeds that God has done, not only in the past, but even in the present, what He promises to do. And I thought to myself, man, sometimes, often, I struggle to do this very thing in verse 4, and perhaps you do too as well. To seek the Lord in His strength, to seek His presence continually. And so for our time together, again, I just want us to break this verse down a little bit and just consider together the different phrases that we find here in verse 4. And really meditate on these things together. But notice again, the first phrase, to seek the Lord, it means to search Him out. It means to consult, to inquire of God. And whenever you see this phrase of seeking the Lord in the Bible, you often see it paired with this phrase, with all your heart, or with your whole heart. An example of that is in Psalm 119. In verse 2, it says, blessed are those who keep God's testimonies, who seek Him with their whole heart. Blessed are those who seek Him with their whole heart. And you know, I thought about that, I think, and I thought to myself, seeking the Lord is the way to the blessed life. But why don't I seek him continually and always? That the way to blessedness, to the blessed life, not only when we die, but even here on this earth, the way to the blessed life is by seeking the Lord. I thought, why is it that we struggle to do this? And again, this isn't going to be exhaustive, but some things that came to my mind is that, number one, we have divided hearts. We have a competing version of the blessed life. And I would imagine for some of us here, maybe that involves a certain kind of lifestyle. We think the blessed life here on this earth is to be able to attain, experience a certain kind of lifestyle, whatever that means for you. Whether you're single, married, with kids, older, we might have a certain version, a competing version of what that kind of blessed life looks like. Maybe it involves your children. Maybe it involves retiring early or the kind of retirement you want to enjoy. But, you know, this competing version of the blessed life that we all have, that we all struggle with, doesn't that influence who you seek out, who you consult and inquire to attain that blessed life? And, you know, it's not that we just have this vision or version of a blessed life. So often, don't you find certain habits and patterns reinforcing your vision of that blessed life? It's not that we just have these desires and they just almost dormant, you know, in a dormant way, just stay in our hearts. No, it influences our habits, even the patterns that we do. And I would imagine if you pursue it long enough, doesn't it even create systems and structures that support your version of the blessed life? I mean, an example of that is I thought to myself, if I wanted to maintain a certain kind of lifestyle, I want to be at this point in my life enjoying these sort of things. A lot of times you have to do that by having more money. And if we're thinking this is the kind of blessed life that I want to enjoy, don't we reinforce that vision, aversion, by having certain habits and patterns of trying to make more money? Don't we often restructure our lives and our priorities, our schedules, so that we can try and make more money and attain that blessed life? I imagine we do this in so many different ways and in so many different areas of our lives. And for us, as we struggle and as we think about, man, am I seeking the Lord? We really need to ask ourselves, what is the competing version of the blessed life that I kind of hold in my divided heart? I mean, it's something that we have to confront. It's something that if you're not sure what it is, perhaps you're actually in the middle of pursuing that right now and you have no idea that you're actually in it. And, you know, one of the difficult things, but one of the things that God will do when he brings trials and suffering into our lives, is it really tests the viability of our version. That when we have divided hearts and we're pursuing a certain version of the blessed life, what sufferings and trials will often do is it actually tests the viability of your version and to see if it'll stand. We need to ask ourselves what that competing version is as we think about our divided hearts. You know, but I would imagine that we have a hard time seeking the Lord also because we just have discouraged hearts. You know, maybe you feel like you've been seeking the Lord and you're like, dude, I don't see this, these mighty deeds, these wondrous works that the Bible is talking about. I'm not seeing it. And I've been in the season for a long time seeking the Lord. I'm not seeing it. You know, I thought of even Elijah, right? Just in terms of his ministry. And I always think about this because it's such a informative and it ministers to me in ways where he defeats all the Baal prophets, the 400 plus Baal prophets. It's almost a euphoric spiritual experience that he has. And the very next thing that he has to do is run for his life. And he's running straight south away from where he was. I mean, he says, I just want to die. He doesn't want to serve the Lord anymore. He just wants to die. He's running away. And I would imagine for some of us, we struggle with seeking the Lord because we have discouraged hearts. Not only divided hearts, but even discouraged hearts. I thought we also struggle seeking the Lord because we have distracted hearts. Again, these are not exhaustive, but again, it's just a way for us to take inventory of just where we are, you know, in light of this verse. But if we think about distracted hearts, I found even myself as I was going through the week, going through the day, that I wasn't seeking the Lord because I had so many thoughts going through my mind. I was so busy thinking about things, but not really seeking the Lord in that moment about those things. I'm thinking about how that could have been different. How could that have played out differently? You're thinking about what ifs in terms of, okay, now, like, man, what's going to happen? It could happen scenario A, B, C. And sometimes I spend so much energy thinking of what could have been and the what ifs that I'm actually not even seeking the Lord. I'm just distracted by my thoughts and my feelings in the moment. But, I mean, in this day and age, it's not just our thoughts, but I would imagine that a lot of us are distracted by the screen. Maybe even here while we're sitting in the service, we're distracted by a screen. But, you know, the distraction, you know, and I was experiencing some of that even this past week. I tried to use some of the features that are on the phone, you know, the do not disturb, the driving mode, focus, you know, the different features on certain phones where you can set certain times where it doesn't interrupt or distract you. And it was strange because even after those settings would turn on, I would turn them off so that I can go back in and check something. Because I was wondering, okay, what if like an email came in? And even in that moment when I was trying to use technology to help me, I was so distracted. I just kept on wanting to go back to the phone. And maybe you struggle and experience the same thing where sometimes throughout the day, throughout the week, we struggle seeking the Lord because we're seeking just things, whether it's watching something, playing something, checking something. You know, 5 minutes later, after you refresh, you're back on the phone seeing if there's any new content. I mean, maybe you struggle seeking the Lord because we have distracted hearts. But lastly, I just thought, man, some of us, maybe in this room even, we struggle seeking the Lord because maybe we have dead hearts. And what I mean by that is just because you do Christian things and you go about being in Christian places, it doesn't mean that your heart has been transformed. There are some people that still have, as the Bible would say, a dead heart. Because Paul says in Ephesians 2 that we are dead in our transgressions and our sins. We have hearts that do not want to seek the Lord. That's not something that we're inclined to do. That we need to be made alive if we want to willingly and joyfully even seek the Lord. Jesus himself would say in John 6 that no one can come to me unless the Father who sent me draws him. It's something that God has to do even in our own hearts. I mean, this is something that even if you have kids, this is something that we need God to do in the kids, in the hearts of even our own children, right? To give them hearts that have been made alive so that they want to seek the Lord. So again, these are not exhaustive, but I mean, these are some of the things that even I had to think through and wrestle through in terms of why do I have such a hard time seeking the Lord? But it goes on to say to seek the Lord and his strength. To seek the Lord and his strength. You know, a lot of times if you want to seek the strength of another, you actually have to confront your own perceived strengths, don't you? Like, it's not enough to know about God's strength. You actually have to confront the perceived strength of others and your own perceived strength of what you think you can do well, where you don't need God in certain scenarios. We need to confront our own perceived strengths, but don't we also need to accept our actual limitations and our weaknesses? If you think about seeking the Lord and his strength, we need to actually address and accept our actual limitations and weaknesses. I mean, I found myself trying to always cover up weaknesses instead of seeking the Lord in my weakness. You know, I find myself wanting to convert my weakness into a strength instead of the seeking the Lord and his strength. I mean, we need to confront our own perceived strengths, but even our actual and real limitations and weaknesses. And some of these things it's like stating the obvious, but don't we so often live in denial of these very things, that we're not omniscient, that we don't know everything, and yet instead of seeking the Lord, we're always trying to find out more and more, trying to minimize as much risk as we can, which is wise, but yeah, there's a limitation there, isn't there? I mean, we're not omnipotent. We're not all powerful, and yet we think that if we try hard enough that we can overcome whatever's in our path. We think that we are omnipresent even with our smartphones. And there's things where we can't be everywhere at all times, and we need to be seeking the Lord and His strength, and yet we live in denial of these things. And as we think about seeking the Lord and His strength, we need to accept that we weren't created to be self-sufficient. That we are not created to be self-sufficient, that we were created to be God-dependent. I mean, even with our kids, it's one thing to be responsible, but it's another thing to be self-sufficient. And God's word, as we think about seeking the Lord and His strength, we need to remember, not only for ourselves, but for others, that self-sufficiency is actually something the devil advocates. The devil actually wants you to be self-sufficient. But do you realize that we were created to be God-dependent? I mean, consider even Jesus, right? The Son of God, fully human, perfectly human. In the language that he uses in John, and an example of this is in John 5, verse 19. He says this, "Truly, truly, I say to you," the Son, referring to himself, "can do nothing of his own accord, but only what he sees the Father doing. For whatever the Father does, that the Son does likewise." I mean, even Jesus is saying, I'm not self-sufficient. I am God-dependent. And so if we think about seeking the Lord and his strength, oh man, we need to be God-dependent, don't we? But notice in this verse, it goes on to say, seek the Lord and His strength. Seek His presence. I think another way that we can think about that verse is saying, seek the Lord and His strength in His presence. That God's strength and His presence is never separated. They go hand in hand. God's strength in His presence. And I thought to myself, what does that look like? What could it look like in the various situations of our lives to seek the Lord and His strength in His presence? And I thought, there are so many times that all of us face temptations of some sorts. Various temptations. Maybe it's temptations to get angry unrighteously. Maybe it's temptations as it concerns purity. Maybe it's temptations as it concerns what you do in conflict, what you say. The challenge of the temptation to just forget versus forgive. We face all sorts of temptations, but what could it look like to seek the Lord and His strength in His presence when you face temptation? And, you know, and something that was super helpful for me when I attended a CCEF, Christian Counseling Conference back during my sabbatical, someone had mentioned something, and I forget his name, but he mentioned, why are we not seeking the Lord upstream, midstream, and downstream? Meaning, when we face temptations of some sort, sometimes we think about just seeking the Lord after everything is done. We feel bad about what happened, that we succumbed to temptation, or we feel like we overcome, or whatever it is. Why is it that we're only seeking the Lord and His strength downstream? What would it look like if we sought the Lord and His strength in His presence upstream? As you encounter the temptation, maybe it's a recurring temptation. Maybe you find yourself in a similar situation to get angry, or a similar situation where you're always tempted to compromise on your purity. Whatever it may be, what would it look like to seek the Lord and His strength upstream? God, I'm about to enter this situation, and this is recurring. I've fallen into this temptation time and time again. God, I need you to help me, to strengthen me, to open my eyes, to see through the lies of Satan and even my own flesh and my own desires, to seek the Lord and His strength in His presence. Father, be with me. as I entered this room, this time of the day, seeking the Lord and His strength in His presence upstream. But what about while you're even fighting the temptation? Sometimes you get caught up in the emotions and in the moment that we don't stop and cry out to God for help. Seeking the Lord and His strength and His presence even while you're fighting the temptation. I mean, that's so necessary, isn't it? Not only upstream, midstream, but what about even after that? After it's happened? I mean, seeking the Lord and His strength, if you feel like you're able to, God has graciously saved you from that temptation, giving God praise and thanks. Father, it was your strength that sustained me through that. Maybe you're dealing with the guilt and shame of falling into temptation. I mean, seeking His strength and His presence, Father, in Christ, I am still loved. I am forgiven. Finding the strength to repent because His presence is with you. He is near. He is not an arm's length away from you in Christ. He is near you in Christ. Finding the strength in His presence to repent. I mean, maybe in conflict, you're tempted not to forgive. I mean, if we seek His strength in His presence, even in the midst of a conflict or after a conflict downstream, I mean, couldn't we be crying out to God to, man, I've been forgiven so much, finding the strength to forgive. Man, I've offended God way more than I've offended this person, even finding the strength to ask for forgiveness. I mean, seeking the Lord and His strength in His presence, we need to do that when we're faced with temptations. I mean, we need to seek the Lord and His strength and His presence when we feel alone and abandoned. Perhaps you feel alone and abandoned by friends or maybe even family. Maybe a sense of betrayal. And as I was reading through John 16, it struck me that as Jesus was anticipating His disciples leaving Him, it struck me what He said in John 16, verse 32, when this is what Jesus Himself had said. He said, "Behold, the hour is coming, indeed it has come, when you will be scattered each to his own home and will leave me alone. Yet, Jesus says, I am not alone, for the Father is with me." I mean, Jesus was saying that before it happened, but it gives you insight into even how Jesus Himself was seeking the Lord and His strength in God's presence as He anticipated all of His disciples leaving Him. I mean, I might be belaboring the point, but I mean, one last thing, about on the ground, what it looks like, what it could look like to seek the Lord and His strength and His presence is maybe you're facing some kind of loss. Maybe it's the loss of health. Maybe it's the loss of a loved one. Maybe it's a loss of a relationship. Maybe it's a loss of an opportunity. But as we're thinking about just the pain, the fear that floods our hearts when we enter that season of loss, I mean, it's so easy to become defined by the pain, to become defined by that sense of loss. We can grow ever more hopeless when we experience loss and face loss. And I want to invite you to turn to Isaiah 43, but this is a verse that's so powerful in a way where it compels you to seek the Lord and His strength in His presence when you're experiencing even loss and hopelessness. In Isaiah 43, and I'll just read some of the verses here, verses 1 through the beginning of 5, it says, "Thus says the Lord, He who created you, O Jacob, He who formed you, O Israel," and it's talking to God's people then, but this applies to God's people today, "Fear not, for I have redeemed you. I have called you by name. You are mine." This is God speaking to His people. "When you pass through the waters, I will be with you. And through the rivers, they shall not overwhelm you. When you walk through fire, you shall not be burned, and the flame shall not consume you. For I am the Lord your God, the Holy One of Israel, your Savior. I give Egypt as a ransom, as your ransom, Cush and Seba in exchange for you, because you are precious in my eyes and honored, and I love you. I give men in return for you, peoples in exchange for your life. Fear not, for I am with you. I mean, this is what it looks like and sounds like to seek the Lord and His presence, His strength, when you're fearful, when you're facing loss, and you're trying to think, how am I going to not be so fearful and anxious and hopeless about what lies ahead of me? And it's in these moments that God's word is saying, seek the Lord and His strength in the present, right now. Seek the Lord and His strength in His presence wherever you might be right now. But this verse ends by saying, continually, right? To seek the Lord and His strength in His presence continually. And when we think about what that means, when should we be seeking the Lord continually? Literally, it's like without interruption, regularly, right? But I want us to think about what that might look like for us. I mean, some of us might be thinking, you know what? I was seeking the Lord and His strength a lot when I was young, but I'm so much busier now. And God's word is saying, seek the Lord and His strength. Seek His presence even now when you're older. Some of us might be thinking, you know what? I'll seek the Lord and His presence when I'm older. I feel busy now. I got a lot of things to do. And God's word is saying continually, seek the Lord and His presence. Seek His presence when you're young. I mean, some of us, we think, okay, I'll seek the Lord when I hit rock bottom. Or I'll seek the Lord when I'm less busy. Or when I have a major decision to make. Then I'll seek the Lord and His strength. Then I'll seek His presence. But God's word is saying, no, seek the Lord and His strength, His presence continually, even now, even if those things are not happening. And even for me, the challenging thing for me was, man, why is it that I feel like as long as I do my devotion one time in the morning, that's enough and sufficient for me? Seek the Lord and His strength. Seek His presence continually. It's telling us not just as a one-time thing, but ongoing throughout the day. You know, if you think about why that's so necessary, I mean, aren't our own sins and the sins of others always before us continually? Aren't we always having to deal with those things throughout the day? And so God's word says, seek the Lord and His strength, His presence continually. I mean, God's word will say it's not only the sins, but the devil prowls around. He's looking for an opportunity to tempt you and to condemn you continually. That's why God's word says, seek the Lord and His strength. Seek His presence continually. We were created to live in this way continually. Do you guys see that? We were created to seek the Lord and His strength, to seek His presence continually. And I just want to end with just talking about some of the maybe practical hows. What does that actually look like? What does it actually look like to seek the Lord and His strength in His presence continually? And this is something that I need to do more, but at the most basic level, just being in nature more, I think would do a lot of us actually more good. Sometimes we're always in front of a screen or inside, but when we are in creation and in nature, it's one of the ways that God's word says that God reveals Himself, right? His power, His majesty. And if we need to be filled with awe and to be reminded, you know what, in light of everything that I'm going through, man, I'm being reminded to seek the Lord and His strength. He created all of these things by the word of His power. I mean, to be in nature and to soak those things up, I think that would do us, a lot of us, a lot more good just simply by being even in nature. But seeking the Lord and His strength and His presence, that happens when we gather together on Sunday, doesn't it? I mean, trying to find the God's strength and His presence outside of Sunday, just alone by ourselves, that can be so difficult to do. But when we gather together as a community, as a church, we experience the body of Christ together. I mean, we experience God's word speaking to us. It's outside of us, and it's breaking into our thoughts and our feelings and our circumstances. We're reminded of His strength, His presence with us. I mean, even as we partake of the Lord's Supper, as we do every single week, aren't we reminded of His strength and His presence with us? I mean, this is something that breaks into our lives. And that's why Sundays are so important. We need to seek the Lord and His strength and His presence together. But I would imagine that even apart from being together, I mean, the Holy Spirit works through the word and prayer. I mean, we need to be seeking the Lord, and we can be seeking the Lord in his strength, his presence, as we are meditating on God's word and even as we're crying out in prayer to God throughout the day and throughout the week. So God's word today comes to us and it says, seek the Lord and his strength. It says, seek his presence continually. Living faith, this is the blessed life. Seeking the Lord and his strength, to seek his presence continually. This is the blessed life. Let's seek this together. Amen. Let's pray. Father, you promise us that if we ask, that if we seek, if we knock, Lord God, that you will answer, that you will open the door, that you will give the Holy Spirit to those who ask. And Father, we come before you confessing that that's our biggest problem, is that we don't ask and we don't seek. And so, Father, you know the state of our hearts. And Lord God, we are not left to ourselves, but Lord, you've given us the gift of your Spirit, Lord God, to bring us to a place to ask, to seek, and to knock. And so, Lord, as we ask this of you today, Lord God, won't you be our strength? Help us, along with Paul, to boast all the more in our weaknesses, because when we are weak, Father, we are strong, because it's your strength and your presence that is carrying us. And so, Father, help us to do that, not only individually, but, Lord, collectively. Teach us how to do that together. And in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.